Well, welcome to the final session of the Mary Hyken Dumont University here at Anshe Sfarad Beth Lameth Congregation. And once again, we learn in memory of Mary Hyken Dumont, good friend and wonderful member of our congregation for many years. Paying our wages on time. Before we get started with this particular topic within the matter of business law, I thought I'd just do a little bibliography.
Business law.
Yes, business law.
It's in the Torah, isn't it?
Yes. But
at the end of the day.
Yeah, right, we'll get to that. But the who elaborates on these matters? Where is there extensive literature about it? So it's interesting, the Chafetz Chaim, in his book called Avas Chesed, Love of Kindness, he has a whole section on paying the workers on time. There's a whole section about it because he realized that one area between people that we often neglect or don't think of as a ritual matter, is paying people on time. There are all kinds of books in Israel. There are several institutes that deal with Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, between people and people. There's a series called L'Reach HaKamocha. I don't have that particular volume of this, but they dealt with Gnevas Das in one of our first sessions. And then Halichos Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, it's like a whole book about different laws between people, including paying on time. Recently, the Art School came out with a book, Mishpatei HaTorah, Matters from Choshen Mishpah, Matters from the part of the Shulchan Aruch that deals with monetary matters, cases of monetary halacha. And then there are even some fun books from Israel of laws of monetary matters, and they give you an illustrated book, very cute. And then my professor, Rabbi Aaron Levine, wrote several works, case studies in Jewish business ethics, free enterprise, and Jewish law. Rabbi Aaron Levine, he taught economics and was a rabbi, taught economics at YU, and was a rabbi in Flatbush. Zichrono Levracha, a friend of mine, and we remember him well. So first let's begin with some cases. So firstly, at first glance, we say, "Well, I'm not a big company owner. What do I have to do with paying people on time?" So let's see some cases. Let's begin with
some cases.
Take a look.
I mentioned to Arya, why should? Is maybe sometimes I don't have the money.
Ah, yes. So it's a very interesting question. We have to deal with that question. If I want to pay on time, but I don't have the money, is that still a violation of not paying on time?
Yes.
So we'll see.
He has to borrow it somehow.
Right, we'll see. There are some hitches to that. So why don't you read the cases for us? Cases.
Right at the beginning?
Yes, you hire.
Wait a minute. I have the wrong glasses.
Okay. I'll get started. You'll take over later.
I got to have my reading.
Okay, I'll start for you. Okay. You hire a plumber. Okay. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
You hire a plumber to fix the sink. After it's done, you argue the price and don't pay him for the term of the disagreement.
Right, so for 3 months, you can't agree. Was it $100 or was it he wants to charge $600? So you can't agree. So you know what? You don't pay him anything.
You don't pay him.
Well, let's say you didn't.
Oh, you don't, yeah.
He fixes the sink. He said it'll be $600. $600? That should be $100. So you argue about it for 3 weeks. In the meantime,
you don't pay him in the meantime.
In the meantime,
you don't pay him.
Well, is that a violation of not paying workers on time? Next.
But also, usually they give you an estimate before they start.
Right.
He says, this is going to cost you so much.
Okay.
He said, okay, before he starts.
But what if you're Donald Trump and you say, it still leaks a little bit. I hired you. The whole job was so it shouldn't drip. It still drips. So what do we? So now you don't want to pay. So what happens at that point?
Okay.
Go ahead.
You hail a cab. At the end of the drive, he asks for a high sum. You refuse to pay.
All right. So would that be a case of you didn't pay the worker on time? It's true. You disputed. He charged you $35 to drive down the block. You didn't want to pay that, but you didn't pay him anything. So did you violate not paying on time? Go ahead.
So what happens if you don't pay the cab driver? He could lock the door and not let you out or something.
Right. I mean, sometimes people will, you know, run out. You know. So, go ahead.
You paid your guest speaker, but you never paid the travel expenses, cabs, etc.
Right. So the guest speaker. So you did pay. He charged $5,000 to come speak. So you did. You paid him $5,000. But then he sends you the bill for the $60 for the cab. So, since it's customary to pay guest speakers for their travel expenses...
But was it agreed upon before? That's the point.
Well, okay. Either if...
Writing, right,
certainly if it was agreed upon, or if it's customary to pay it, then you paid the wages, but you didn't pay the normally agreed upon, or perhaps agreed upon... Or customary for side benefits. Are you also in violation of not paying him on time? Could be.
When you say violation, you're talking about a Torah violation or a civil violation?
Yes, Torah violation.
Oh.
Yeah, tonight's only about Torah violation. Surely there are civil laws about this, but we're just talking from a Torah perspective.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The Gabbai promises candy to all the children who put away the Siddurim. But the candy is not forthcoming. What if the custom is to pay the first of the month?
Okay, so two different questions. So I put it in one line. Right? So number one, when the Gabbai promises the kids candy, if they straighten up the chairs. So they straighten the chairs, and then, you know, he doesn't get around to it. He doesn't really have candy. He was kidding. So what do you say? Do we say, well, it's just education. You know, he's trying to educate them. They should help in the shul. And the candy was just to get them to do it. What do we say? Look, children also have to be paid on time. They did a job. That was the wage. Right. Someone argued that, well, it was for educational purposes. You're trying to encourage them to do the right thing so you can play games with them. But I think...
But it's especially bad to do that to children.
What kind of education, right?
It's a bad example.
Right. What kind of
education, right.
Negative education.
Yeah.
The next question is, let's say in America, they pay at the first of the month. On the first of the month, they pay. But if you're a monthly worker, and you should get paid at the end of the month, if you get paid by the month, according to Torah law, you should be paid the last day of the month. Because the when you're hired, the obligation to pay is on the last day, and then you have to pay by sundown, as we'll see in a moment. So you should have to pay on the 30th. What if the custom in America is to pay on the first of the month? So if the custom is to pay the first of the month, it's okay. Because it's sort of like it's agreed upon. But we'll have to get back to that. Can you agree to violate the law? You and I will agree. I'll hire you, but I'm not going to pay you one time, okay? Is that okay? You're going to say it's okay. The Torah says it's not okay. So let's go back to the Torah. So firstly, we see that we're all employers. We all get in situations where we owe money to someone who did a job for us. And so the idea of paying on time is a very important one. Now, first of all, we have two verses, one in Leviticus and one in Deuteronomy. We're going to notice a contradiction. Let's take a look. So in Deuteronomy it says, "You shall not oppress the hired servant." It's in 24:15. "You shall not oppress the hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or the strangers that are in thy land within thy gates." No matter who he is, you should pay him. You should not oppress him. Okay. "In the same day you shall give him his hire." His wages. "Neither shall the sun go down upon it." If the sun goes down and you didn't pay the day worker for his job, you're in violation. "For he is poor and setteth his heart upon it." Here I give two translations. Rashi says, he gives his life for it. You tell him, go pick the apples. He takes a ladder, leans it up against the tree, goes and picks the apples. He could fall down and become a quadriplegic for the rest of his life, as sometimes happens. But he does it because he's got to make his $5 an hour. And then you don't pay him those $5? It's unbelievable. That's Rashi, based on the Midrash. And the Ibn Ezra says, his soul is longing for it. He's looking forward to it. It's not right.
Right.
He's looking for it.
Someone even anticipated and spent the money knowing they're going to get paid.
That's true.
Well, his wife made him some shopping.
Yes. Now you mentioned the wife. We're going to talk about that later. That what's unique about wages is that there's someone else involved. Very often, the beneficiary is not the husband. He's lucky if he gets a cup of coffee at the end. He gives the check to the wife, and she has to go spend it. So you're not just upholding the wages for one man, but for his entire family. And he will cry to God, and it shall be a sin. So there's the lo yikra lech Hashem. We don't lest he call out to God. We're afraid he's going to call out to God, and it will be a sin upon you. The worst thing is if someone screams out by being oppressed, and you're the person the person is praying about. You don't want to be in that situation. Mm-hmm. Torah says over and again, God will hear the one who's crying, and you'll be in big trouble. So, very severe. It's a very severe matter here. We're talking about someone, you're taking away their life. In Leviticus, so that was in Sefer Devarim, in Parshas Ki Tetzeh, which talks about a lot of these laws. Also in Vayikra, chapter 19, Parshas Kedoshim, famous for many interpersonal laws, such as loving your neighbor as yourself. So it says, a few verses before, it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Lo tashoker ve'acha ve'lo tigzol, lo talim pulat zachir itchad haboker. Thou shalt not oppress thy neighbor, nor cheat him, nor rob him. The wages of the hired servant shall abide with thee all night until the morning. Shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Cannot, if the wages cannot wait till the morning. So we have a contradiction. The first verse said that you're in violation if what? If the sun sets. The second verse says, until morning. So do you have until morning to pay? Or do you have only until the evening to pay? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia says, very simple. So the Gemara explains it, but here we quote it from the Ramban on the second page. I'll just quote it, it's one line. Our sages explain, that which it says until morning refers to a day worker. And when it says, and then it explains the night worker, and each one has a time payment of 12 hours. It's during those 12 hours you have to pay them, and you've got to pay them by the end of that period. So if it's a night worker, if it's a daily worker, comes every day to get his payment, paycheck, so then you got to pay him by the end of the day. If he's a night worker, you got to pay him by the end of the night. So these are two verses, they contradict each other, because one is talking about one thing, one about another. Now, the Gemara in Bava Metzia 111a elaborates about this topic, and it says, Kol hakovei shechar shechir over behei shemos. Halalo. He says, anybody who holds back the wages of a worker, or the rental of an animal, or if you rented something, you transgress five things. Number one, on its day you shall pay the wage. You shall not allow the wage of the worker to stay until the morning. Somehow, he says as follows, lo tigzol, don't steal, don't oppress, don't let it stay over, in the day you shall pay him, don't let the sun fall on him, etc. It doesn't have the full translation here. And then he says as follows, this is when the worker asks for his wages. So apparently, if the worker doesn't ask for it, you don't violate it yet. This is a little technicality, a little loophole here. The worker has to come and say, no, I'm ready. Usually he doesn't have to ask. He comes to the desk and they give him it. But if he shows up and he asks, then you have to pay him. Now let's say, the Chafetz Chaim says, what if the worker wanted to collect, but something came up?
Yeah.
So probably...
You might say, I didn't have a chance to go to the bank.
Right. I didn't have a chance to go. So I have to look there for the Chafetz Chaim to see what the exact answer would be for that. But I think he still has to pay. But let's continue. We see right in the Torah itself that the Torah views this as a very grave thing. It's going to cause human pain and suffering, and the person will be really in anguish, and their whole life is for this. But not only that, but the prophets and the scriptures, the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, all emphasize this point as an important point. So, you know, sometimes if you think about, you know, what are the important rules of the Torah? You know, loving your neighbor, stealing, adultery. We wouldn't always put it in the list. Not paying your wages. But apparently this is a common infraction that people violate, and the prophets rail against it. Jeremiah chapter 22, he says, "Woe unto him that builds his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers in injustice, that uses his neighbor's service without wages, and gives him not his true hire. Bereyehu yavod chinam, he works for it, he makes his neighbor work for nothing. Upo'alo yitan lo, and he doesn't give him his wage." So this Jeremiah says, "Woe unto him, hoy." So this is, you know, something that worthy of notice by the great prophet.
Outside worker, a plumber or so work, but you have your own employees you have to pay.
Yes.
If you own a business.
Yes.
And you have to pay your own employees.
Right, but so then, employees can be on various types of contracts. Some, we say, look, do the job. Mow this lawn. That's your job. How many hours? That's not my business. Mow the lawn. Other people, you say, I want the cleaning girl. I want her there for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She said, well, I'm done. No, then clean something else. You're there for 3 hours. So each job has its own definition.
Yes.
Right. The 3 hours you have to pay after the 3 hours by the end of the day. By the 3 hours by the end of the day. Okay. Moving along. In Mishlei, also a book of ethical preaching to your children, he says, "Al tomar l'reacha leich vashuv umachar etein v'yeshitach." If you have the money,
oh,
don't say to your friend, "Come back tomorrow, come back."
Yeah.
And you've got it now.
That's right.
So this adds an additional element. In addition to not getting his wages, which is bad enough, we said already how important that is, but just the being sort of toyed with, played with, where you tell him to come back, no, come back tomorrow again. Just this business itself, that itself is another ethical violation. It's sometimes described as a separate violation. So we already said you have 5 violations, and then this is another ethical violation. It's not in the Torah, it's in the book of Mishlei, in the Proverbs, but it's still significant. The idea that how important it is to work in an ethical way and to be paid properly, the most beautiful expression of it in the Torah is expressed just last week by Yaakov in his outrage to his father-in-law. Unfortunately, that speech has an ironic twist to it, because in the great outrage of Yaakov about the years of oppression at the hands of his father-in-law, it turns out that he's outraged is not really completely warranted, because his wife did steal the terafim. She did steal the idols.
Mm.
So he's all outraged, but actually he is guilty. But in any event, in the process, he mentions a beautiful speech. You don't often get a biblical character with this many words in the speech. He says, "That which was torn of the beasts, I brought not unto you." In other words, if a sheep was taken, as a worker, he says, I wouldn't say to you, well, I lost a sheep, so it's us, but you only have 99 sheep now. No, I made up for it. I brought you another sheep. I bore the loss of it. Of my hand did you require it, whether stolen by day or by night. Right? If it was stolen in the middle of the night, you wouldn't give me the benefit of the doubt. You made me pay for the sheep. What? You're a shepherd? You lost a sheep? You got to pay for it, even in the middle of the night. Thus I was, in the day the drought consumed me, the frost by the night, and my sleep fled from my eyes. I couldn't sleep. I worked when it was snowing, and it was cold. These 20 years I've been in thy house. I served thee 14 years by thy 2 daughters, 6 years for the flock. You change my wages 10 times.
No.
So here he alludes, "Batachlefet maskuti asher aseret monim." He alludes the idea that what's so miserable about Lavan, his father. Right. That's really, this is Yaakov's speech. He says, my father-in-law, What's so miserable about you is that you change my wages 10 times. In other words, you start off, you're working for this, and it turns out you're working for that. You're working hard to make speckled sheep. He says, no, and then you get paid with the white sheep. You were working hard to make sure the other. So there we have it. He alludes to the fact that this is such an outrage. Etc., etc. God has seen the affliction of my and the labor of my hands and gave judgment yesterday. Does God warn Lavan not to hurt him? Because I'm right. I've been working, I've been oppressed, and God heard my plea. So God has finally heard the cries of Yaakov, who has been oppressed. And one of the oppressions is being that his wages were changed. Okay, let's continue. Now we have an interesting thing. We're going to try some Talmudic analysis. We want to try to understand what's the nature of this law of paying wages on time. So there are two elements, say the Talmudic and analysts. One is the Torah made a chidush, a new idea, that you have to pay your wages on time. It's a separate thing. But there's another element that very simple. It's highway robbery. It's stealing. Why? You're supposed to pay him wages. He said, okay, I'll mow your lawn, you pay me $50. He mowed your lawn, you didn't pay him $50. So the wages are coming to him, and you didn't give it to him. So basically, you're stealing. What difference does it make whether you steal it before you give it to him or after? It's the same thing. His money is coming to him. So there's one element, it's simply stealing. The other is, whether it's stealing or not, the Torah forbade it. So, what they like to say is, one is a monetary obligation. One is like, you owe him money, period. For instance, let's take the following case. Let's say you're supposed to get paid $1,000 for a job. So you paid him $1,000, but you paid him 2 days late. Do you owe him money for being late?
No.
Do you? Right? You have a deal. You work in this office doing accounting for a month. I'll pay you $3,000. The month comes to an end. He doesn't pay him. 3 weeks later, he pays him $3,000. If it's as if you stole from him, so can you simply, well, I stole the $3,000, but now I'm giving it to you. I'm 3 weeks late, but I'm giving it to you. I stole $3,000, I'm giving you $3,000. Or do we say that actually what has happened here is you have stolen something else. Aside from the $3,000, there's value in that time. Now, of course, in the Torah, we don't charge usury, so it's complicated. In other words, I can't charge you for time. If I'm giving you a loan, I should... All right, so you pay a year from now. I shouldn't charge you money for that. But when you have wages, do we say that actually he owes you money? For paying late, perhaps he owes you money. So if we say, if it was just a like stealing, so then you should pay for the stealing. But or we say, no, that's a different thing. It's stealing, you pay it back. But there's another prohibition called, there's just a prohibition against doing it. It's not nice. If the Torah doesn't like it, it's like if you would insult me, if you would call me a name, if you'd embarrass me. You're not supposed to do that, but there's no monetary penalty for it. So let's see, what would be the difference between saying it's a monetary obligation or saying that it is a religious violation? So case number one. There's a debate about, within this story of paying wages late, Rav and Shmuel debate, how long do you have if someone works for, let's say, 3 hours? Do you have all day, all night, whatever it is? So Rav and Shmuel debate it. Some rabbis say we should follow Shmuel because it's a monetary matter. And some rabbis say you could follow Rav because it's a religious matter. So we have here a debate as to whether wages being late is a religious violation or a monetary violation. Case number two. The Sefer Achinuch, the book that talks about the 613 mitzvot of Rabbi Babad, commenting on the early the Sefer HaChinuch and the Minchas Chinuch have a debate. Sefer HaChinuch, medieval work, student of the Ramban. Rabbi Babad, a few hundred years ago, writes the Minchas Chinuch, elaborating much on the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch says, we can't get lashes for violating, since we can just return it. If somebody paid wages late, if it's a violation of the Torah, in the olden days, they used to give lashes, they'd whip somebody for being late. He says, no, you can't get lashes, because why should you give them lashes? Just make them pay back. So in other words, you pay back, it's a monetary obligation. You pay back and you're done. Minchas Chinuch says, no. He says, of course you pay the wages. That's something else. There's an obligation to pay the wages. That's nothing to do with it. We're not talking about that. Of course you have to pay the wages. We're not talking, this class is not about whether you have to pay. Of course you have to pay wages. The question is, you delayed the wages. That's the problem. So, therefore, you can't pay back that part, so you should get lashes for the part that can't be paid back, the fact that you paid late. In other words, we don't make you pay extra for paying late, for being late. It's just a plain violation, and for that you should get lashes. So the Sefer HaChinuch thinks it's a monetary obligation, and you can pay it back. And the Minchas Chinuch says, it's an analysis. The paying back doesn't rectify the being late. It just rectifies your monetary obligation. But there's a religious obligation, and that's not rectified by paying when you pay him late. Third difference between whether we view it as a monetary obligation or a religious obligation is the Ritva. The Ritva is a Spanish commentator. He quotes the Ravid, who was a Provençal commentator. He says, what if you have a very small, you're an old lady, you have a little garden, you have a tomato, two tomato plants growing in your garden. You're too old to collect it. You say, hey, Sonny, I'll give you $5, and you go collect these tomatoes. So he says, $5? It's only two tomatoes. He says, all right. And they bargain down, and he says, just give me a nickel. I'll go pick the tomatoes, give me a nickel. You're fine. Then the woman, she's old, she forgets. She doesn't pay him. Oh, we're not going to hold it against her for forgetting, but let's say she intentionally forgot. So a nickel is really not worth anything. It's not really money. You can't buy anything for a nickel. And these days, maybe once upon a time you could. So therefore, if we say that you still have to pay back, the Ravid says, I don't care. 5 cents? You owe 5 cents. Why? It's not money. See, if I steal 5 cents from you, I don't really have to pay it back. Why? It's not money. I violated the Torah, but it's not something you can give back when you give me 5 cents. Give you 5 cents. But over here, it's not a monetary obligation. If you don't give that 5 cents that you promised for collecting the tomato, then you are in a religious violation. And I don't care if it's money or not. I don't care if 5 cents is money. It's you have to give that thing, called 5 cents, which is worthless, to that person because you promised it. It has nothing to do with money. So this view says it's not money. The Ritva says, the Ravid says, it's not a monetary thing. It's a purely religious kind of a thing. The Rambam goes through various laws. Let's take a look at the Rambam, the laws of hiring, laws of schkiras, chapter 11. It's a positive commandment, this is a say, to pay a worker his wage on time. As it says, on the day it's due, pay him. If an employer delays payment, he violates a negative commandment. As it says, do not let the sun go down without receiving it. Lashes are not given, for he's liable to pay. He takes the view of the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch takes the view of the Rambam, that you can pay it back. You pay it back, your violation is over. This principle applies to the wage of a person or a fee or for hiring an animal or a utensil. So when you hire something, you also have to pay on time. In all these instances, one is obligated to make himself payment when it's due, and if one delays payment, one violates a negative commandment. It goes on in law number 2, whenever a person withholds the payment of a worker's wage, it is as if he takes his soul from him. So the Rambam takes, sort of like Rashi, like the Gemara, that it's like you're taking away his life. Because of it, he puts his life in his hand. He violates 4 admonitions and a positive commandment. He transgresses the commandment not to oppress the colleague, not to steal, not to hold overnight a wage of a worker, and not to allow the sun to set before having paid him, and the positive commandment to pay him on time. When are the wages due? A person who is hired to work during the day should collect the wages any time throughout the following. Should collect his wages at any time throughout the following night. With regard to him, Leviticus says, do not hold the wages of work until your possession overnight. A person who is hired to work during the night should collect the wages at any time throughout the following day. So, it's not that the day worker has to be paid during the day. The day worker has to be paid by the following morning. Not that the night worker has to be paid at night because he just finished working. He has to be paid the whole following day. A person who is hired to work several hours during the day, that was a machlokes debate between Rav and Shmuel, should collect his wage during the remainder of the day. He has that whole day. A person who is hired to work several hours during the night should collect his wage during the remainder of the night. We follow Rav and not Shmuel. That indicates that is not a monetary matter. Usually we follow Shmuel in monetary matters. Following principles apply with regard to a person hired for a week, for a month, for a year, or 7-year period. If he leaves his work during the day, he should collect his wage during the remainder of the day. If he leaves his work during the night, he should collect his wage the remainder of the night. So when you're a 30-day worker, then you get it on that day, the last day. Number 3, if a person gives his garment to a tailor, and the tailor completes it and notifies him, the owner does not transgress his commandment as long as the garment is in possession of the tailor. It applies even if he delays paying him for 10 days. If the tailor returns in the middle of the day, once the sun sets, the employer transgresses his commandment for holding the worker's wage past the due date. For contracting work is governed by the same laws as hired labor, and a craftsman must be paid his wage. Number 4. The following rules apply when a person tells his agent, go out and hire workers for me. And the agent tells him, the employer is responsible for your wages. They both do not violate transgression because the owner is not culpable because he did not hire them. My messenger hired them. And the agent is not culpable because he doesn't benefit from the worker's activity. It's not his job. So that's kind of interesting as well. Finally, number 5. We mentioned at the end of 4, the employer does not transgress the prohibition unless the worker demanded payment and he did not give it to him. If, however, the worker did not demand payment, or he demanded payment and the employer did not have the money to pay him, as we asked before, or he directed the worker to another person who accepted the responsibility of paying him, the employer is not culpable. If you say, look, I'm not paying you, this other guy's paying you, or you didn't demand the payment, I'm not responsible. Or I didn't have the money. Right? If he didn't have the money, especially if it's known that he never has the money. In other words, I'm telling you now, I'm asking you to mow my lawn, but I don't have $50. Next week I'll get paid, I'll have $50. I'll pay you next week. Then it's okay. Now, when a person delays payments of a worker until after they are due, he's liable to be able to pay him immediately. Although he's already violated the positive commandment and the negative commandment. Throughout the time he delays payment, he transgresses a rabbinic commandment. In other words, really, you violated the Torah commandment once you went past that day or the night. But the Proverbs violation, that is, if you miss even for a minute, you're telling him, come back later, you got the money now, do it now. The Shulchan Aruch says, a hired worker who knows that the boss doesn't have the cash at hand, except on the day of the market, he gets, you know, when he sells his tomatoes on Thursday, then he's going to have money. But he doesn't have money on Wednesday. Then you don't violate staying over, even if he has the money. Now, he knows he doesn't pay, he gets more cash later. But from the day of the market and on, he does not pay. Then he does violate. Finally, the Rav Shneur Zalman of Ladi, that's the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. He wrote a Shulchan Aruch HaRav. It was like a compendium of the Shulchan Aruch, magnificent work. And there, he says something, and the Chafetz Chaim advises the same thing. He says, you know, these laws seem quite challenging. How are we going to deal with all these laws? You know, you hire somebody, and then something comes up, and you don't pay him on time, and you're in violation. You didn't have the money. There's so many situations. Or maybe you get into a dispute about the cab, or about the plumber. And then you're not going to pay him on time. You'll be in violation of this terrible law. What should we do? So he says it's good to make a condition, a tanai, with the worker when you hire him, on condition you will not be obligated to pay him in his time, lest he be busy or won't have the money to pay, or will violate a negative commandment. Now, even if he has no money, it is proper and pietism, Midas Chasidus, to borrow and pay the worker on time. As Mr. Kramer mentioned, if you can borrow it, you should do it. Even if you don't have the money, you should borrow money and pay the worker on time. Unless he made a condition that he's not going to pay him until later. Monetary conditions work. He assumes you can make a condition. Even still, if he can pay on time, he should, and not depend on a condition. For he is poor and he gives his life for it. In other words, even if you said to him, look, you know, I may not pay you on time. You agree? Oh, I agree. Now, if you can pay him on time, you still should. It's the ethical thing to do. Now, this stipulation is not the most, the highest ethical kind of, it seems he's more concerned that I might violate the prohibition than he is that the worker get paid on time. That's why he says that even if you make a stipulation, you should still pay him on time. But this is a sort of ethically questionable type of thing to specifically try to get around this law by stipulating that you agree not to pay him on time. Now, this is a general question. How do we know that you can agree to pay late altogether? I saw in a wonderful sefer, Rav Rosner, he analyzes the issue as follows. He says, firstly, this sefer, the Medrash, says that there's an exception. If someone made a condition not to pay him, then it's okay. So if he said he's not going to pay him on time, it's okay. But the thing is, wait a second. The Gemara Bava Metzia says, and that 51, Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, it says that Ha'omer L'Chaver Al-Menashe In L'Chal V'Ona Rav Mar Yesh L'Vona Shlomo In L'Ona. That when it comes to overcharging, a topic we discussed earlier in the Dumont University, when it comes to overcharging, there's a debate as to whether you can say, look, I'm selling you this book on condition that you understand that I'm overcharging, and you're not going to complain. Not going to be able to complain about that. So Rav says, doesn't matter. You're not allowed to stipulate. Shmuel says, there's no violation. And again, we get into this question: do we follow Rav or Shmuel? Most people say we follow Shmuel. That it's a monetary matter. Follow Shmuel. There's no cheating. There's no overcharging if you stipulate it. So if you're, why? Because that when any time you stipulate something in a monetary matter, it works. If I say, look, I'm selling you this on condition that I'm overcharging you. Go buy it someplace else. It's fine. Two people agree, two consenting adults. Monetary matter, it's fine. Similarly here, two consenting adults decide to work and he's not going to pay him on time, should be okay. But wait a second. If that's a general principle, why do we need a verse in the Sifri, in the Medrash, to tell me that you could make a condition? It should be obvious that any monetary matter, you're allowed to make a stipulation. So Rabbi Avraham Falaji, he died in a smear in Turkey in 1898, he answers that the delay of wages is different from other monetary matters. Because, as we said before, it affects not only you, but your family. Yes, this plumber and the household owner stipulated that he pay the plumber late, but it's not for you, the plumber, to decide that you're going to get paid late. Your poor wife and children are at home waiting for supper, and they don't have the money. How can you make this stipulation? Comes the Torah and the Medrash and says it's all right. Even though the stipulation between these two parties affects other people, still can be done. Or you could say that for the monetary part, you can make a condition. The monetary part. But then we said that there's another part to this. As Rabbi Menachem Zemba explains, now let me explain who Rabbi Menachem Zemba is. Menachem Zemba could have been the chief rabbi of Jerusalem, and he would have escaped the Holocaust. He could have gone to live with a family in Switzerland, but his passport had the wrong spelling, so he couldn't get out. He could have gotten snuck out of the Warsaw Ghetto, but he wanted them to have a rabbi, so he stayed in the Warsaw Ghetto. He wrote 10,000 pages of commentary on the Rambam, on the Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud, and it was all lost. All we have is the Chiddush of Menachem Zemba. This great man, he said, there's a two-step process. Number one, the plumber and I enter into a monetary obligation. He's going to work for me, I'm going to pay him. And that creates an obligation, a monetary obligation on my part to pay him. Then there's a second obligation that the Torah says that there's a mitzvah to pay him on time. So perhaps the monetary obligation could be waived. If you say, you don't have to pay me. When I work for you and I fix the sink, you owe me $50. But I'm waiving that. Oh, you could waive that. But once you waive that, then I don't have to pay you on time. But the other part perhaps cannot be waived. The religious matter cannot be waived. But if you could undermine the entire relationship we have, that since you did work, I have to pay you. But you waive that. So you waive that part of it, that also waives the other part. He says as follows. There's a two-step process in the obligation of paying workers on time. First, one becomes obligated to pay them. That's a purely monetary obligation. He also has to pay them on time. That's part of it. Then once he's established this obligation, there's a Torah violation to pay him on time and not to be late. The latter obligation can be waived by the parties. Why? Because of the first obligation. Because you can waive the whole obligation to begin with, therefore you can waive this. But in theory, it's difficult to waive the religious obligation. But the Ksos HaChoshen says as follows, he says that you can waive the obligation of your employer to pay you on time. And apparently one can waive half an obligation because he's not waiving the employer's obligation to pay. In other words, he says, oh, it's okay. What's okay? It's not okay never to pay him. I owe him the $50. What's okay is that I'm not going to pay him on time. So he's waiving half the obligation. Or maybe Rav Nachman Zemba would say, you're waiving the monetary part, but not the religious part of the obligation. So it's an interesting question whether and how the mechanism works that you could actually waive this obligation. But it's a very tricky thing. How can you say, and the Torah says, pay him on time, and I'm going to stipulate for all my workers that I make a condition that I'm not going to pay them on time. So Rav Shneur Zalman of Lodi said, try to pay him on time anyway. In any event, we see that the Jewish system is a dual system. Whether it was paying wages on time or whatever we're talking about, there are always two elements. There's a civil matter. It's a religious matter. It's part of the Torah to pay a worker, but it's also a civil matter. It's an obligation that's created between two individuals, a contractual matter. You said that you were going to pay me, and you did. And then there's a religious obligation. The religious obligation says that aside from paying him, you have to pay him on time. And if not, you're in a grave violation of a commandment. It's between you and God almost. It's almost nothing to do with this individual. It's between you and God. And many Jewish laws are like that. Beyond the letter of the law, there is lifnim mishuras hadin. We sometimes go beyond the law. So Jewish civil law is interesting in that way because it's also part of a religious system. And sometimes the religious system asks you to go a little bit beyond the normal system. Nonetheless, it's interesting to note that you can stipulate that you're making this obligation to pay and you're waiving the Torah obligation. You have to be careful. You can't say, I'm hiring you, but the Torah's obligation to pay doesn't apply. That might be more questionable, because then you're trying to waive the Torah. And that's questionable. We've discussed whether it could be done or not. But if you just said, we're entering this agreement, condition that I could pay you late, it's a monetary condition. Although it involves a religious obligation, still, it's rooted in the half-waiving of the monetary obligation that creates the working relationship to begin with, and that could be waived. So in any event, thank you for joining us here at the Mary Heitkin Dumont University for these four-week session on business ethics. Join us for various discussions in the future. We're going to have our next session, the Mary Heitkin Dumont University, a seminar on happiness, a happiness seminar. Join us. Thank you.